Gracious God, we love the story in the Bible of the young boy called Samuel, who thought you were speaking to him. And he said to you, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And Father God, that's what we want today. We want you to speak to us because we're listening and we want to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we come to the first extended parable that we're looking at. A parable has been mentioned previously, but this is the first of the large parables. And these parables are very common teachings of Jesus, and they're found in the first three of the Gospels. We're told that Jesus spoke with parables. And this particular parable, which is called in your Bibles the parable of the sower, is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so it must be really important. Now, a tiny bit about parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So you can look at these stories in two levels. You can hear a nice little story about something on earth, or you can look deeper and you can find the heavenly meaning, the spiritual meaning. It's an outside story with an inside meaning. That's another way to look at it. And we're told that Jesus spoke these parables very often. It was a very special way of speaking. And in fact, it's a miraculous way of teaching. Because some people can hear that parable and they can get very little about, except just a little earthly story. Or they can see something much, much deeper. And Jesus actually went on to say it, and we read it, rather confusing for us. He says, I talk to people in parables so that you won't understand. But those who want to understand will understand. In other words, it's a sieve. It sorts out the sheep from the goats. It sorts out those people who want to seriously know God's will, and those people who've just got perhaps curiosity, and they're not really, really wanting to listen. This makes a distinction between the sincere listener who wants to obey God's word, and, if you like, the casual or careless listener who just wants to have his ears tickled. And he just comes for that reason. I want to ask you the question this morning. It's a bit personal. Why have you come to church today? Have you come because you want to see your friends? Well, some of you, that's a good reason. Have you come because you enjoy singing a few good songs? I hope you've come for that. Have you come to just hear a little message? Or have you come for the cup of coffee at the end? To listen to what God is saying to you and to put it into practice is a very serious thing. Are you willing to respond to the truth of God's word today? If you're serious in knowing God's will and hearing God's will, he'll speak to you today. But if you're careless or casual, God's only going to tickle your ears a little bit, and you probably won't hear. The other day, I have to make a confession. I was driving the car. Sally had the map book. And we were going somewhere where we don't normally go. And I heard what she said. She said, "Take the second exit." And I took the first exit. And I said, "I heard you, but I wasn't listening." And actually, some people are like that. Have you ever been in a situation where you hear something said, but you're not really listening? Or, to put it in other words, you're not really willing to obey. I thought I knew better. So I heard what Sally said, and I went the wrong way, because I didn't do what she said. We can hear God's word, but we cannot listen. We can be those who think we know better and go our own way. One commentator has said that the parables are a bit like panning for gold. When you pan for gold, it's a lot of work. You have to sift through all that sand. But if you sift through that sand and you're prepared to do the work, you can find the little gold nuggets and you can reap a tremendous reward. In a parable, we're comparing something that is familiar in nature or in human experience to a spiritual reality. So the parable we're looking at today is this one, found in all four of the three Gospels, the parable of the sower. I've actually entitled it, as you can see on the screen, The People Who Listen. And although it's called in the Bible the parable of the sower, it's actually more about the soils than the sower. It would be better to call it the parable of the sower. Now, many of you know that I love gardening. And for 10 years I lived in the desert where I couldn't have a garden. So I just love this period of the year. I can tell you that I've already dug up the beds. I've got rid of all the weeds. I've emptied the compost heap onto the beds. I've removed any stones that are there. And I'm just getting ready. And I'm just getting ready because the time is coming quite soon when I'm going to start sowing some seeds. Now, you may think this is an ice cream box, but it isn't. It's my seed box. Okay? And so I have to go through my seed box and I have to look at my seeds and see what I have here. But unfortunately, some of the seed packages like this one was last year's. And I have to look on the date in the back to see if it's still good for this year. This seed might not be good. And then I have to look and I have to see, are there some kind of plants that I haven't got any seeds for? And I have to get the extra seeds that I need for those particular crops I want to go. And I just absolutely love it. A bit later in the year, when I go in the garden, down to the garden, I don't like coming back into the house without bringing something for the table. Some blueberries, some carrots, some tomatoes from the greenhouse, or some beans. It's just wonderful to have this fruit that God enables us to have. And I want to tell you that, God has given us good quality seed. We don't need to go to different seed boxes. We have one seed box, the Word of God. It's absolutely reliable, and it doesn't go out of date. And if you want to reap the kingdom of God, there's no other seed that works. I don't have to dig around in my seed box looking for the seed for the kingdom of God, because we're told in this parable that the seed is the Word of God. That's the particular seed that we've got. Now, to understand this parable, you also have to know a little bit about farming in another place. In our culture, and in our country, our fields are enclosed and we have fences around them. And we plant the seeds very deliberately in a particular way, perhaps in lines, as the farmer does. But you have to understand that in the time of Jesus, that's not how farming occurred. They were open fields and they didn't all have nice enclosures. They were paths through them. And the way that they planted their crops is they took seed and they just dispersed it by hand across the field. And they spread the seeds out. And in fact, if you go to Israel today, you'll find that basically the soil is very rocky. And it takes a lot of effort to have a good place to plant a field. I saw this last year when I went to Morocco. Morocco is a very dry country. And when we went along in the bus to one place, it was incredibly rocky. And we saw some good farmers. They had amassed all the rocks and made a sort of a rock wall with them. And there were other fields where the rocks were still just throughout the field. And we could see that in that context, this story makes a lot of sense. The good quality seed we have, it's the Word of God. It's reliable. It never gets out of date. It will produce good results. And then we must remember this. I love this verse. This is what Jesus said. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So I can say with absolute confidence as I speak to you today. God wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to have a fruitful life. We could talk about what the fruit is, but it's the extension of the kingdom of God. We can believe that God wants us to exalt him and glorify him and to see people brought into the kingdom of God. And you know something? People who come into the kingdom of God, they have their sins forgiven and they can be filled with joy. Not only joy in their own lives, but they bring joy in heaven. Because Jesus said, it brings more joy in heaven to see one sinner repent than for those who don't think they need to repent. So we're absolutely confident that God wants us to have lots of fruit. Right, let's now look at the parable briefly. I realise we have Holy Communion today, and I'll keep my remarks as brief as I can. I don't know how brief that is, but... So, the first lot of soil, we're told, a seed, we're told that as the man was sowing, scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. And later Jesus explains, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown. So, the path is packed down. It's hard. The seeds could not penetrate the soil. And the seeds were exposed so that the birds could see them. And so the birds could come and have a feast. And we need to make protection. So when you plant seeds, if the land is really hard or packed down, you've got to dig it up, you've got to loosen it so that the seeds can penetrate into the soil. And also you've got to make sure that the seeds are covered. And if you're growing fruit, as I am, you've got to protect it from the birds. So you have a netting over it, don't you? Because you want there to be no theft of your seed by the birds. Now what the Bible is clearly teaching is this. When the word of God is sown, Satan is not happy and he wants to snatch that seed away. And if we have hard hearts, the word of God cannot penetrate down into our hearts. Several times in Scripture, we're warned of hard hearts. For example, in Romans, we're sternly warned that because of our stubbornness and unrepentant hearts, we're storing up God's judgment. In Hebrews, we're told that, see to it that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. There is a real danger of hardness of hearts. And one of the reasons why we won't be able to understand God's word is because our hearts are packed down and they're hard against God. And there's a stubbornness and there's a pride. And God is saying to us, you know, one of the reasons you're not receiving the word of God is because you need the humility and the preparation of preparing your hearts to receive the word of God. And you've got to be very careful that Satan doesn't just come and take it away. I would like to suggest to you, that is relevant for every single one of us today. Whether you've been a Christian a long time, or whether perhaps you're still seeking to understand it, nevertheless, there is that temptation that our hearts can become hard, packed down and unresponsive to the word of God. There's a real danger in that. Then the next kind of ground is rocky ground. When I saw some of those fields in Morocco, which were just littered in rocks, I thought, how on earth can the seed germinate in those rocky fields? And the truth of it is, the Bible says they can't. There's an initial little response, but because there's no depth to the soil, it's very shallow, the seeds can't penetrate and put their roots down. And so when difficulties come, when the sun comes, very quickly you forget about it. Now, let me put it this way. Have any of you taken out a subscription to a gym because you made a New Year's resolution that you're going to get fit? or you buy a bicycle, or you think you're going to go swimming, but you haven't actually managed very often. And what's happened to your subscription to the gym? Well, it's lapsed now. Where is the bicycle? Well, it's in the shed. Your good intentions have not been translated into actions. How many times have you said, oh, I meant to see to that in your house. I meant to see to that, but I never got round to it. Anybody like me? I never got round to it. And I believe Jesus is saying, that's like very thin soil on the ground, which was typical in Palestine. Because there was no depth to the soil had not been prepared, so when the seed is planted, it can't penetrate and germinate and put down roots and develop a bit of strength. The seed is received, but it doesn't penetrate. And then when the sun shines, it begins to wilt and it dries up. And it only lasts a short time. When difficulties come, people say, well, it wasn't worth it. Yes, to be a Christian requires hard work, and there will be difficulties. If you're learning to roller skate, you're going to get a few bruised knees before you become an expert. If you're going to learn to play the piano, it's going to take a lot of time to practice. There is dangers in having a superficial response that can be emotional, but is not persevering. There are some people who joyfully listen to the Word of God. They come to church, but they don't persevere with it. They don't meditate on it. They don't think of the implications of it. And Jesus says, when those trials and difficulties come, then the reception was too shallow and it didn't last. Thorny soil. I would suggest this is the crowded heart. Jesus said some of the seed fell in an area where lots of thorns and other plants grew up. In other words, weeding is important. Oh dear. Yes, that's coming as well. When you plant your seeds, you also have to weed. Becoming a Christian involves repentance and some radical changes, but even then, there's some competing ambitions in your life. A desire for wealth, a desire for fame, a desire for reputation, a desire for your own pursuits. There are many other attractions which can crowd out your commitment to God. A Christian life, for all of us, involves daily decisions, every single day. It involves daily decisions. And you'll face choices. And sometimes you'll find that in the competing decisions in your heart, you don't always choose those things which are conducive to a fruitful life. How long are you going to spend in other activities? How long are you going to allow the weeds and the thistles and the other things to grow? Jesus explains this very clearly in the passage we read. He says, these include the worries of life. The worries of life crowd into your heart. The worries of life include the deceitfulness of wealth. Boy, that sounds contemporary, doesn't it? How many people, because of their pursuit of material gain, or leisure, or family, or even health, which is good, you can neglect spiritual truths and values. You make your decisions based on your lifestyle and your preferences and your interests and your comforts, and gradually your Christian things get crowded out. Think of the example of an Olympic athlete. How many of you would like to be an Olympic athlete? Wow, wouldn't it be great? Get a gold medal? No. But let me tell you, if you're an Olympic athlete, you have to be totally disciplined. You have to be absolutely dedicated to your sport. You have to train for hours to perfect your skills and maintain that phenomenal level of physical shape. An aspiring Olympic athlete has to watch their diet They have to only eat and drink exactly what the nutritionist tells them to do so. They have to sleep. They have to get the right amount of sleep. They can't be up partying all the time. They have to make sure that they get the proper recovery after they do their events. There's psychologists now which tell us that Olympic athletes have to have mental training so that their psychology is right to be the one who wants to win. They have to hire a coach. They have to listen to advice. They have an assortment of all sorts of different exercises they have to do and in order for them to be at the level that they are. Now, this parable is saying to us, in our spiritual life, we cannot pander to a half-hearted, casual commitment to our Christian walk. We have to be disciplined. We have to do those things which will help us to grow in our Christian faith. If we don't, gradually, our fruitfulness as a Christian is going to diminish. I've seen it in my own life, that sometimes I really realize that my fruitfulness as a Christian is diminishing. There's a constant danger. Paul was writing to the churches, and he wrote in the book of Philippians, he says, I say now with tears. And he's speaking of his former colleagues. He says, some of them now are enemies of the cross. They started well, but they didn't persevere. And he says with tears, I can see some people have fallen back and fallen away. Well, I've got some really good news to you. There is also good soil. There's some people who have cultivated their heart and prepared. And Jesus said he wants us to be fruitful, as we've already read. There is tremendous joy in seeing a good harvest. Jesus said, I chose you to bear fruit. Not only bear fruit, he said good fruit. Not only good fruit, but much fruit. Not only much fruit, but fruit that will last. Yes, it's wonderful to have a responsive heart to God and to bring forth a bountiful harvest. It's such a joy to be able to go and to bring in the produce that comes from the garden. But to get a good harvest, good planning is needed, and a certain commitment is needed if we want to have a good harvest for the Lord. We need to do everything within our power to be receptive to God's word, to respond to God's word. This means listening well, reading attentively. It means thoughtful consideration. It means willingness to obey what God says. It means the hard graft of seeking God and wishing to obey him. There is such a close link in the Bible between knowing God and loving God and obeying the word of God. Obeying the word of God is not the means by which we become a Christian, but when you are a Christian, the way we please God is by doing what he says. And Jesus said that very explicitly. If you know me and you know my word, you'll do what I say, and my Father will come and reveal this to you. This is true to life. How do I show my love for Sally? It's by listening to what she says. So when she says, lunchtime in 5 minutes and I'm in the garden, guess what? That's kind of hard for me sometimes. But it's the way you show it, it's by obedience to doing those things which we know we should. So this parable concerns you, and this parable concerns me. The real question is, what kind of listeners are you to God's word? The receptivity of our hearts and our minds to God's word is parallel to the receptivity of good soil to the seed. And so I want to go on by just applying this a little bit. Can we change our heart to be more responsive to the word of God? Can we change our heart to be more responsive to the word of God? I believe the answer is yes. In the passage which we looked at previously, we hear about the Pharisees, who were religious leaders and the leaders of the law, and that they turned against Jesus. And they even accused him of being demon-possessed. Their hearts were not responsive to the word of God. But not all of them. There were some like Nicodemus who went to God at night and listened to the word of God. It's by hearing and obeying the word of God that we can bear more fruit. We can be more responsive. I've already mentioned that. It's by thoughtfully reading God's word and being prayerful as we read it. I believe that that habit of reading some of God's word every single day and making a little note and say, God, I'm finding this passage difficult. What does it mean? Please speak to me. It's about when we come to church. And now, I'm going to accuse you of something. If my sermon today is really bad, it's partly your fault. Because you need to pray for those who have the responsibility of preaching and teaching so that we may do it accurately and clearly. But also, there's another reason. There may be several people here today, and some of you respond to God's word and say, I really want to obey that. And there may be some people within the same room whose hearts have not been prepared, who've not come to church saying, I really want to know God's word today. Billy Graham was asked, why do some people who make commitments at your rallies turn away? And he said, because it's written in the Bible. There will be different responses to the word of God. Some people persevere and continue for the rest of their life as a result of hearing him. And other people, they turn back. We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. We have to constantly say, is my heart open and receptive to the word of God? We have to set priorities and count the cost of the time we spend. And lastly, I really believe it's important to meet with other believers. You can be so encouraged when you come to God's word, but it really helps sometimes when other people are explaining it to you, or you're in a little Bible study, you come to a prayer meeting, and as people contribute together to the word of God, insights are shared which really help you to grow as a Christian. There are many distractions. It's not easy. But I want to say to you, it's wonderfully worthwhile to know that God is saying to you, well done. You can produce, what does it say? You can produce amazing fruit. The crop produced 30. The crop produced 60. The crop produced 100 times as much as was sown. God is looking for us to be those who bring a fruitful life to him and who reap for his benefit. Thank you very much. I'll just pray, and then we're going to sing our song before I hand over to Martin for the Lord's Supper. Father God, I'm sure that every single one of us, as we truly understand the meaning of this parable, we are somewhat rebuked because we realize that there are times our hearts are hard, there are times our hearts are shallow, there are times, Lord, that our hearts are just crowded with lots of other things, and Lord, we just want you to reveal to us those things which can make our life more fruitful. Please help us. We know the seed is perfect, and we want to respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen.